Hi, this is Robert Kiyosaki, and you're listening to Capital Hacking with Josh and Eric. This is the most important thing you can listen to today.
On today's episode of Capital Hacking.
When we initially gave that money to my mother-in-law, she told us how much of an impact it could have. I was like, well, why don't we flip another house? Like, it wasn't like we tried to flip these two houses. Like, we just basically walked into it. It's like, what's stopping us from flipping a house? Yeah. But you probably know better than anybody else. If you flip one house, you know everything you need to flip two houses. And if you're going to flip two houses, it's like, if you give a mouse a cookie, it's going to ask for milk. It's like, why don't we flip three? And it's like, well, if you're going to flip three houses, why don't you screw it? Let's just make a business. Let's go all in on this thing.
Here's the one.
I have a dream.
With great power comes great responsibility.
I can do this all day.
Zip, don't get scared now.
They may take our lives, but they'll never take our freedom.
Cinderella story out of nowhere.
It's in the hole.
That the only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
Capital Hacking begins in 3, 2, 1.
Welcome back to Capital Hacking. Josh McCallan here. Thank you so much for tuning in again. We have a show today that will warm your heart and renew your faith in humanity. As a matter of fact, not only your faith in humanity, your love of two great people, you know, that are there to share their story, their masterminding conversation, so that you can see this is possible for you in your life. Yes, Lindsay and Tyler Goble are people that I admire tremendously. Met them, met their family. Got to know some of the work they do outside of real estate. And that caused me to fall in love with their passion for trying to serve those who are in most need. Okay, I'm going to get into all that. So who are these wonderful people, Lindsay and Tyler Goble? You're going to find out that one of their core businesses today is designing and flipping homes in the Waco area. Okay, and the Lindsay has a deep background in Waco. She's also studying to be an interior architect. She and I talk a lot about architecture. So if you've ever wanted to hear the inner workings of true design architectural nerdy people like me and Lindsay, and I say nerdy, and I mean stunningly good looking at the same time, not just nerdy. Yeah, but you get my point, right? We're going to tell you why we love architecture and what we think it does for the human heart and the human soul. So that's part of the conversation. Then we're going to do one of our favorite. We do a deal deep dive, the Santa Ana project that is part of their portfolio. Wait till you hear. We go through the numbers, the timeline, the successes, the struggles. We also get to a deal real dive, I believe, which is one of our specialties on Capital Hacking. So you'll have to stay tuned for that. But pay close attention, if you will. I encourage you. We invite you. Take a moment and hear what their why is. And hear the music through their words, the music behind their song. There's a statement in the middle of the show where Tyler's sharing why they do what they do, which is, you know, one of my favorite things to get into. And they talk about how they wanted to be generous with their successes and put their wins to service of others. Wait till you hear what they do. And spoiler alert, we talk a lot in this show about Unbound Now. And if you haven't looked up Unbound Now, please do it as we're talking. I'm sure you're driving a Tesla, a fancy Tesla. You're not even holding onto the wheel anymore. It's got autopilot. So grab your iPhone or whatever else you have and Google Unbound Now and find out how terrible the plight of modern day slavery is. I know it's something we don't talk about much and we need to. And that is that there's people in bondage, especially children in bondage. And we want to do something to ease their pain and to be a light in this world. So these two and so many others in their community are fighting back against the evil of modern day slavery. Please check it out. I'm down now. And last but not least, I know you're still probably not even holding the wheel because you, by the way, most cars today have autopilot, but you're also pulling over because right now I'm going to ask you to go to capitalhacking.com. And complete the web form. You're like, well, Josh, why would I do that? And it's because you're going to find out. If you heard in one of our earlier shows called Hustle Capital, you'll know that we are working on something enormous at Capital Hacking, where we are going to accelerate the growth of so many other entrepreneurs. And we have great strategies that we are going to put together and work for you. As a matter of fact, we call it PBS, Personal Brand Syndication, where we all help each other. And there's so much more. Hit the website, take a look at the web form. We'd love to have you complete that. By the way, several people already have. Thank you very much, you loyal, beautiful Capital Hacking audience. Without further delay, Lindsay and Tyler Goebel and the work of Unbound Now, combined with great architecture, that is what we have in store for you today. Thank you.
Welcome back to the big show. I do have the world famous Lindsay and Tyler Goebel here. Welcome to the big show, guys.
Thanks for having us.
Josh, thanks for having us, brother.
Now, Lindsay, it is so nice to see you guys here in the digital universe. But before we get into all the great stuff, would you two share a little more about your backstory and help our team and audience get to know you a little better and what you're working on?
Sure. Yeah. I can start. I'm Lindsay. So I am from Waco, Texas, and that's where our business is based out of. I'm in Waco right now doing lots of work. Tyler's in the military, so we move all around, but I will just fly back and forth from wherever we are to Waco and work on our projects. And I'm also getting my master's in interior architecture and design. So I have a little bit left to go. But I work as the designer and interior architect for our projects and do school and just move around the country with my husband.
And how long have you guys been married?
Long time.
We've been married, yeah, a real long time, 3 years.
3 years, good for you guys.
Yep.
How about yourself, Mr. Military?
Yeah, so Tyler, I'm still an active duty Marine. And so I did kind of grown up, went to the Naval Academy, played football there, and didn't want to give up the locker room yet. So I joined the Marine Corps right after graduation. And so did 4 years in the infantry in the Marine Corps. And my most recent set of orders was actually out to Monterey, California to get a master's degree in operations research, which is like data science, artificial intelligence, machine learning, a bunch of really non-infantry things. So I'm like a full-time nerd now for the Marine Corps, and we're actually getting ready to move to DC, Washington, DC for 4 years, where I'm going to be doing like data analytics for the Marine Corps. But that's kind of my day job. And then I'm sure we'll get deep into what we're doing with the real estate stuff. But me and Lindsay started an investment company in Waco, Texas, focusing on residential right now. But I do all the back end, boring finance, underwriting, insurance, kind of try to keep the wheels on the bus moving in the right direction. And so I do all the boring stuff. Lindsay does the stuff that everybody sees. And so that's kind of my role. But yeah, that's me in a nutshell. Still active duty, but do all the non-time coupled events for the business.
Well, look, the reason we couldn't be happier to have you guys on here. First of all, family, a married couple doing this business together. I think there's a lot of us out there. Melanie and I are doing work together. Two, the Marine Corps, thank you for your service. You made a joke there, by the way, Tyler. You said I was in the played football for the Naval Academy. And then when I got done that, I wanted the locker room still, so I joined the Marine Corps. Do you mean you chose to leave the Navy to join the Marine Corps, or do you actually mean you signed on for a second tour? That part throws us civilians off.
Yeah, so the Naval Academy, a lot of people think that you have to go into the Navy, but what people don't realize is the Marine Corps is a department of the Navy. And so about 25% of us that graduate from there go into the Marine Corps. And so that's the service selection I chose after graduation.
Instead of the easy route of the Navy is what I'm hearing you say. Okay.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, my buddy BJ Kramer is probably listening to this. He's a West Point grad teaching right this minute. BJ, hello, buddy. I know you're listening to this week in real time. So BJ says, you know, I love the Army. I love being in West Point and I love being deployed, except he goes, if I would have just chose the Navy, I'd still be an officer because the Navy gets pretty locations and the Army doesn't. And I didn't know if I wanted to raise my wife and family in those tough spots.
Yeah.
So was that ever part of your thinking that you're always going to be on the coast? Holy macaroni. Man, couldn't be better.
It is great. I mean, we're in Monterey, California right now. It's like I got a Pebble Beach hat on. It's like, I just went on a walk right before this podcast. It's like 70 degrees, not a cloud in the sky. And it's like paradise. That every single day. It's paradise. So
now, is it like that right now? Complain. Is it like that in Waco, amazing. Lindsay?
No, I'm a full-blown Californian now. I'm like, I was raised here, but I'm like, this is why people don't live here. It is miserable. I hate to say it, but it is.
Oh, come on. So Lindsay and I were you at the event with us the other night with your mom?
I was, yeah.
Oh, that's right. We said hello quickly. So Melanie and I, spoiler alert, got to learn about Lindsay's family's work. They do much more than just invest in real estate. They are trying to put a dent in the world and make a beautiful ministry out of their work. So we're going to get to that. But Lindsay, interior architecture is actually what Noelle is. Well, no, she's an architect, but we have her focused a lot on interior architecture. Mm-hmm. Tell us, how long ago did you know that was your calling? Is that something recent, or have you always wanted to be an architect?
No, very recent. I kick myself almost every single day. I said, when Kyle and I got married, I will not go back to school. I will never go back to school. And then here I am, I'm back in school. But really, it's when we started the business a couple years ago. I didn't even grow up loving design. It's just something, even after college, when we started the business, I started to really kind of have an eye for it and have a passion for it. And so I wanted to learn more in depth design. I wanted to learn about architecture. And so I thought, you know what, I have to go back to school. And I love it. And I'm glad that I did. But it's a new thing for me.
So with architecture, also, go ahead, I'll
interrupt. Well, I was going to say, the funny thing is, when Tyler asked my dad to marry me, my dad said, Tyler, I'm just warning you, you need to be prepared, support Lindsay. She's not going to work. She's a stay-at-home mom, nothing against it, but you know, she's not going to work. She's not going to go back to school. She's a mom. She's a wife. And then here I am, I'm working and I'm back at school.
And by the way, Lindsay, you have a great family. Tell me about the number of children. Are there more than, how many children are in your family?
Yep. There's four girls and I'm the youngest. So we're four within 5 years.
Woo! So
30.
You want to hear something crazy? Her poor dad had to pay for 3 weddings, 4 college educations, all within the span of like 18 to 24 months. Just crazy.
And I met your dad.
Did it all debt free.
Did he really?
He did. Yeah. He was able to do it all debt free. Work so like he must a dog. Be,
he's like a magic trick. I think he was in insurance at one point, right? Maybe not anymore. Yeah. So, all right, let's go back a step, because architecture, this is a little geeking out a little bit, but architecture and design, I always find them, let's opine for a minute. What school are you doing this at?
So this is through the Academy of Art University, and it's based out of San Francisco. I just do it all online.
Okay. And where was your undergrad?
My undergrad was at Dallas Baptist.
Dallas Baptist.
But okay. So Texas
Lady and Tyler's mm-hmm. Naval Academy. Yep. Pretty darn good educations, you two. Sounds great. So architecture to me, I'm sorry, this, I don't get to talk about it much on the show here because we don't talk
You're
about
good.
It
I love
much,
it. Much.
It's soulful to me. I think done well. Mm-hmm. I used to make a joke in college. This is a total too much information, but I used to make a joke because I would totally deck out my hotel. What do you call those things? Dorm rooms. Mm-hmm. In a funny kind of eclectic way, I'd go to the Salvation Army and buy gigantic pictures of ancient medieval villages and put them on my wall. And we had hilarious stories about, you know, why we decorated that. We had house plants in all our rooms. And I wasn't even like a frou-frou guy. I just literally thought it was, I used to joke, I'm like, maybe this is why moms are so good at decor, because it makes a house a home.
It does.
And then that translated to what Melanie and I do now with these beautiful resorts. We talk about the architecture as the beginning of the soul revival, which is our company, right? Revive the Soul, Viva May. And we say, yeah, the place has to be uplifting. And what have you come to find out about all that through studying architecture? Did anything surprise you in the actual academic work?
It's very interesting. Yes, I tend to like you're saying, the architecture side even a little bit more than the design side. And so I chose the interior architecture route as opposed to interior design route because it gets into the more nitty gritty kinds of things. So what surprised me actually is that I really love and I study a lot in my program is building codes and kind of the basics and the foundation of a building. I'm surprised that I really like that. I also love, you know, making a house a home and I love the decor and that's what I do, you know, for the business. But I do really love the foundation and the architecture and even just the codes, like how many inches does the door have to be or how many, you know, how many exits does the building require? I love that side too. So that surprised me.
I do. And I love, this is totally geeking out, but if you're listening to the show and you flip houses, you know what we're talking about, or if you've done any bigger than just a house, is door swings, what the door hits when it's open, what the room
small looks details,
what it looks like when the door's open versus closed, where the furniture sits in symmetry, how the windows work. By the way, windows and elevations of buildings are a big thing Melanie and I work on, because you know, the like in the 90s, which is when you guys were probably born, the 90s, they went to the McMansion thing where like everything was about as big of square footage as possible. Basically, it's a box with a few fake architectural details on the outside. But the thing that always killed me about McMansions was if you looked at the side, they had windows like in all kinds of random spots because they were only looking at the building from the inside. They're like, this is a room that needs a window right here. So they never cared about the architectural symmetry and the timeless nature. And so, man, this is the end of my geeking out. But Melanie and I talk about how when you destroy symmetry or if you do things arbitrarily, it like, even so for us geeks, it really affects me. Like, I'm like, no, we can't do that. But for the non-geeks, I think they feel it, Lindsay. I think they're like, this doesn't feel right here somehow.
They do. They do. I was surprised. We work with my dad. My dad's actually, you know, the primary, he's like a project manager and a construction guy. And he, my dad, I've never known him to be a detail guy. And he will be like, this is off by 2 inches. So, you know, people feel it. They may not know what to do, but they come in and they see stuff like that.
Yeah. So thank you for taking it so seriously. And it sounds like these 16 houses you're working on are as good as they can be, because at the end of the day, you need to make a living too, right? So so back to the Genesis story. Let's talk about the Genesis, the two of you. Why are you flipping houses? You're not even flipping them, right? Are you buying and holding these homes? What's your business plan?
We're flipping the majority of them, but yeah, we'd be happy to get into the genesis of it. And I think that's really how we got connected was the big why. And so like we kind of mentioned beforehand, I'm in the Marine Corps. And so in my 4 years in the infantry, I was working 14, 16 hour days, pretty much every day, gone for weeks, months at a time, running around the woods, sleeping outside. Did not have time to do any sort of business when it comes to like a side hustle or whatever. And so at the end of that 4 years though, I got these orders out here to Monterey. And we had bought two houses in North Carolina, just the very old fashioned way where you buy a house, live in it, buy another house, live in it, do that kind of thing. And so we had sold those two in North Carolina. And that was right when me and Lindsay got married. And so we were trying to figure out like, man, what do we want to be generous with our real estate income from? Like the Marine Corps income's easy. Like we're Christians, we tithe. Like for your listeners that aren't familiar with that, it's like 10% of your income you're supposed to give to either the church or charitable organization or something. And that's the easy button. You can set up auto draft on your checking account, goes away, you never see it. But with real estate, as a lot of your folks know, that money kind of ebbs and flows. It comes in big chunks. Unless it's all cash flow, then it's hard to schedule out where you're going to donate that money. You've got to actually write a lot of times a physical check. And so it was right at the beginning of our marriage when we moved out here, and Lindsay suggested that we gave that tithe from the houses we sold in North Carolina to Unbound Now. And so me being the husband of infinite wisdom, I was like, sure, like whatever my wife wants, like we'll make her happy. I had no idea what Unbound Now was doing. I didn't know if it was my mother-in-law running some nonprofit on her laptop in the garage or what they were doing. But I knew it was a good idea to give that money to them. Yeah. And so we did. And my mother-in-law called us and she was like, Tyler, just so you understand, for $5,000, we're able to employ a full-time worker in a country like Mongolia, China, Indonesia. And all they do is sit at the border at train stations, bus stations, truck stops, and are snatching people that are being sold to slavery in those big countries.
Yeah, let's pause there for just a second. So since we're deep into the cool part, I think we'll come back to, I want to get to the deep business planning though in a minute, but because you brought up Unbound Now, Lindsay, why don't we, do you mind Tyler, if we come back to the business? So so a week ago, Melanie and I flew to Waco to spend time with your mom and your father and so many other wonderful people to become part of Unbound Now's work. So in a nutshell, could you tell what Unbound Now is? And then we'll start talking about why it's so powerful for you.
Sure. So Unbound Now is a anti-human trafficking nonprofit. It was started by my mom, Susan Peters, and she started in Waco. Basically, long story short, she thought that human trafficking was kind of an overseas, other country problem. And she traveled a lot in her career. And so she saw, you know, modern day slavery in other countries. So she thought, you know, I'm going to start a nonprofit. But when she started it, she found, oh my goodness, it's in my own backyard. It's in my own city. It's in Texas. It's in the United States. And so she kind of changed courses and started it in the United States and branched out from there. And now she has 9 locations worldwide. So I think 5 of them are in other countries. They focus on prevention and awareness, doing a lot of training for students and teachers and doctors to let people know the signs of human trafficking. And then they also do a lot of the nitty-gritty work. My mom will go on sting operations with police and FBI and really actually rescue people out of human trafficking, whether it's down the street in Waco or if it's in another country. And so they kind of do all kinds of work, and I'm sure we'll get into this later. They do things now like opening safe houses for children. They're starting one here in Waco. That's kind of why I'm here as well. I'm working as the designer on the house. And so they do a ton of good work just from A to Z, all kinds of training, but also the nitty gritty work of really changing lives of people who have been victims of trafficking.
Yeah, I mean, I think the thing, let's take a deep breath, everybody. You're listening in your Teslas. Usually lots of hilarious jokes are being said. It's probably the funniest podcast in American history. But in the meantime, we care about the children's. As a matter of fact, I have 10 babies, as you might know, Lindsay and Tyler. But we got to understand this for a minute, because as someone, I was sharing this with somebody a while ago, well before I met your mother. Melanie and I had said this was what our life was going to be focused on, was somehow getting involved. Sounds like you guys are too. What is going on? I mean, I've heard a statistic, and I don't know if you know all numbers, but that there's more slaves today than there ever mm-hmm. was in the history of human society.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, that's a common misconception, is that human trafficking is a man in a white van that, you know, kidnaps somebody, or it's shackles and chains, like we think of slavery. But really, it is people who sit next to you at a restaurant. It's students in your classroom. It's someone you pass by at the grocery store. It's just common people who have just fallen victim to someone that preys on them, whether it's extorting them for work and no pay, or if it's sexual predation, whether they're being forced to prostitute and give the money to their pimp. But it's everywhere. Yeah, there are definitely more modern day slaves today than there ever was, just because it's it kind of flies under the radar. It's, again, it's people that look like you and me.
Yeah, and you're saying that, you know, there's all kinds. So by the way, we've heard of these types of things in other countries. As a matter of fact, we met, mm-hmm. Melanie and I were at a different event months ago, and this woman, a dynamic superstar named Brittany, I can't remember this name right now, but Brittany was explaining that she jumped up in a plane, got in a plane and jumped over to Ukraine months ago when that whole conflict started, so that she could help the children. And I don't know, I think Unbound Now did something like that. Can you explain mm-hmm. what happens when a war starts and how that impacts this ministry?
Yeah. Well, I mean, from like a Marine Corps perspective, it makes perfect sense. Like the men are not allowed to leave Ukraine. Like if you're between the ages of, like, I think it's like 16 to like 65 or something, they're handing you an AK and they're putting you towards the front lines to protect the country. And who does that leave? That leaves the elderly, and then that leaves the women and children, who are always the at-risk demographic. And so Unbound has been rotating teams over there since probably about 2 weeks since the conflict kicked off. You might have to fact check me on the exact dates, but Susan's been over there. Our other good friend Jessica's been over there. There's been a lot of folks rotating over there on a basis on that border between Poland and Ukraine. And essentially, as these people are flooding across, there's good people that are trying to help them out, but there's also bad actors that are taking advantage of a really, really high stress situation for folks. and that's when they're trying to prey on them then. And so Unbound is actually establishing a office in Poland, permanent office, because, I mean, as you know, the news cycle comes and goes. You don't even see that much about Ukraine on the big mainstream media stuff anymore. But that doesn't mean that there aren't still millions upon millions of people that are displaced. And so organizations like Unbound are setting up permanent shop to deal with the after effects of this thing for the years to come here in countries like that. And so wars displace people. And whenever someone's put into a financial hardship like that or don't know where the next meal is going to be, that's kind of when they're the most vulnerable to those kinds of things.
Yeah. Yeah. That's, or there wasn't, there was also talk that when orphanage, I mean, I guess orphanages are a little more common, I guess, in those countries, that when they were started to be in the terror, the zone of combat, where were the kids going to go? And were there predators who were just going to basically shuttle them away? So that's where the,
That happened. My mom is sending, I believe it's happening right now. There's an orphanage that they found out was just a trafficking ring. And so she's sending one of her guys here to go bust it. Cause they're just preying on children.
Yeah. So if you're listening to this show and you're thinking, timeout. We don't normally talk about that. And you're gut wrenched. I mean, that's partially why we asked Lindsay and Tyler to be here is, you know, we can obviously share the website. And if you want to get involved in a wonderful organization like Melanie and I are doing, you can reach out to us or you can just go to the website. What is the website, Lindsay, on that organization?
It's just unboundnow.org.
So the word unbound, like breaking out of bondage, unbound now, N-O-W.com.
Org.
Forgive me. By the way, does someone own the .com? We should buy the .com.
Yeah, buy them both, just in case.
Buy them both. We should buy them both. Anyway, let's get back to before the break, because after the break, we're going to tell people how you do what you do to make the investments make money. Yep. Okay, and we're going to dig into that with a deep dive. But would you share a little more as I interrupted you, Tyler? So your high level why is to be supportive of Unbound Now, but you also have a passion for the work, it sounds like, too, this business you've created with Lindsay.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, what we've realized in the short period of time, like making money's fun, making money's cool. It's nice to see stuff pile up in your account, but nothing beats giving it away. Nothing beats getting to make an impact with what you're doing. And you're always going to want more. Like when we first started, we were like, man, if we could flip, like I've got a spreadsheet brain. Like I'm the guy who, like, you tell me a number, I put it in a spreadsheet, I'm figuring out, like, projecting that out over the next 80 years. Like that's how my brain works. And so when we initially gave that money to my mother-in-law, she told us how much of an impact it could have. I was like, whoa, why don't we flip another house? Like it wasn't like we tried to flip these two houses. Like we just basically walked into it. It's like, what's stopping us from flipping a house?
Yeah.
But you probably know better than anybody else. If you flip one house, you know everything you need to flip two houses. And if you're going to flip two houses, it's like if you give a mouse a cookie, it's going to ask for milk. It's like, why don't we flip three? And it's like, well, if you're going to flip three houses, why don't you screw it? Let's just make a business. Let's go all in on this thing. We're out here in Monterey, California for the next 2 years. I'm on my own schedule. Lindsay's on her own schedule. Let's just put the pedal to the metal and see if we can't make this thing happen. And so that's why we launched it, was from a desire to have a bigger impact now, vice mortgaging that impact and slowly giving over time. We kind of wanted to just hit the nitro and see what could happen. And so we've been super blessed, but that kind of brings us up to speed with where we're at with the 16 flips we're kind of burning through right now. It started off with realizing, you know what, if we can do one house or two houses or three houses, let's just see what God wants to do with the whole thing and we'll see what happens. And so that's kind of what we did and put the accelerator in. And here we are now just trying to flip as fast as we can and hold on to the ones that make sense.
Is that how you see it too, Lindsay? Is that why you guys are going so fast? Or is it seems like you're mutually as pumped up.
We are. It's going.
She might be more pumped up than me than sometimes.
I like that.
It was shocking. Really, yeah. She doesn't stop working, Josh. I've got to tell her, I was like, babe, you gotta eat dinner. Like, when she goes down to Waco, she works like 18-hour days. It's like, babe, you gotta sleep.
So when we come back, Lindsay, unless you want to, when we come back from the break, Lindsay, can we start off? Because my wife is going to say an announcement right now. She's so lovely. She's like you. So she's going to say an announcement. Then we're going to come back from the break. And would you mind sharing with us why you've decided Waco? I know you're from there, but what economics are making sense to you there? And then both of you, please dig into a deal dive so we understand how money works, how the business works. Thank you very much for hanging on. We can't wait to talk to you after the break.
Hi, this is Melanie McCallum. Josh and I are just so grateful for the many investors who already joined us at Accountable Equity. Accountable Equity is so much more than a capital group. It's really a community of accredited investors that want to learn and grow together. I just want to personally invite you, if you want to find out more about this type of investment and see if it's right for you and your family, please visit us at accountableequity.com.
Hey, it's Hal Elrod, author of The Miracle Morning, and you're listening to Capital Hacking with Josh and Eric. Enjoy.
So there you go. We are back. Thank you, Hal Elrod. Hey, Robert Kiyosaki, thanks for the endorsement. It means a lot to Tyler and Lindsay that all you famous people are listening to the show, but let's get back to the business. So Lindsay, tell us. You could choose several cities to invest in. For God's sake, I mean, California, you're there now. Why not do it there? You're about to go to DC. Why not do it in DC? What made you choose the market you're choosing and what's it like there?
I say there's a couple of reasons we chose Waco. We tried some other markets really. And first of all, we found they're a little hard to break into if you don't have the full team. Like we had just moved to California, you know, military just showed up. We didn't have a bank partnership. We didn't have a general contractor. We didn't have a project manager. So we really did try. And then we found out, you know what? My dad, he was retiring off the road. He traveled for, you know, 30 years. He wanted to come home. And he also has flipped a few houses in Waco. And so we thought, you know, my dad could be the project manager or the general contractor. He has a really great relationship with the bank. We know the Waco market. It's a little bit cheaper than California, you know, not much, but a little bit. And my family's from Waco, you know, we could easily get to Waco and oversee the project. So it's kind of it was more strategic decision. So that's why we chose to do Waco. And then we just took off from there and based it all right in the Waco city limits.
What about, I mean, those are great points. What about deal analysis though? So
yeah,
are they penciling better or not?
So that's another thing. Like, My background in data science and machine learning and AI and all those types of things, I did like a very deep dive into the data for the US and plotted out like, where are people moving? Like, yes, they're moving to Texas. Yes, they're moving to Florida, but where in those places are they moving? And it is crazy. You put it on a map and it's like somebody dropped a hand grenade in Dallas County. No one's moving to Dallas County. That's where Dallas is. They're moving around it. Everyone's moving away from these big cities in Texas specifically. And the same thing's happening in Austin. There's more people moving into Austin, I guess, but the county surrounding it, that's where there's a lot of people moving, a lot of population growth. And the one common denominator between Austin and Dallas, lo and behold, is Waco.
Hold on. I actually am there almost every month, so I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Tell them what you mean by that, because not everybody's as familiar with I-35 and the geography of your state.
Yeah. So Texas, the way it's kind of broken up is I-35 runs north-south between Texas, straight up the middle of the country, basically. And it connects Austin and Dallas. And so those are two major cities. But what happens is it runs right through the middle of Waco.
The middle. Like you got Baylor on one side with that epicenter of power. And then you have the downtown Waco and all the stuff over there on the other side of it. Literally cuts Waco in half.
It does. And they've been working on I-35 for like 45 years in Waco. I don't know if you ever have to drive through that thing, but it's like a traffic jam all the time. They're going to get it finished by probably 2021. But 100 years from now.
Wait, hold on. I've been hearing that they're actually almost done their current work, though.
They are.
That's actually looking pretty good right now, I thought.
Are they?
They're done with that. Yeah. But they've also put SpaceX is there now.
So talk about that. How far away is SpaceX from Waco?
20 minutes.
I said that to my buddy. I said that to Tom, Dr. Tom Burns. Everybody knows him. He's famous. He's the rich dad doctor. And he says, what are you talking about? Waco's getting SpaceX. So he didn't realize that, actually.
So it's not technically Waco. It's McGregor. but it's 15 minutes outside of city center of Waco, 15, 20 minutes.
Amazing.
So they
when did that get announced, by the way?
It's there. It's already there. There's
I'm so far behind the time.
Yep. Amazon Fulfillment Center also coming to Waco. And there's a lot of kind of under the radar things that unless you're plugged in with the community, there's some big money moving around in that area. And it's all moving kind of encroached upon by Austin and encroached upon by Dallas. And so my like data thoughts on it is they're in the path of progress. And when you look back in time in the state of Texas, you look at Austin, you look at the way that kind of developed, I'm getting very similar kind of like numbers to what happened to Austin back in the day, gonna happen to Waco in the next 10 to 15 years. And so we pushed all our chips in and said, you know what, Waco is where we're gonna put the flag. And it's got an anchor university in Baylor. It's got a great kind of economic outlook, and it's still way more affordable than Austin, way more affordable than Dallas. And all those kinds of things are kind of really working in conjunction together.
Let's do a deep dive. Let's do a deal real dive. See, our show does deal real dives where we might actually, how about we make it a real dive? A deal deep dive tends to mean in the past, right? So why don't we start with a deal deep dive and then go into a deal real dive? And what I mean by that, Lindsay, I hope you're not too nervous. I know you're sitting down.
There's a divert this to Tyler, please.
Oh, really? Well, what deals are you looking at right now that you could talk to me about? Maybe there's a deal we could all do together, but let's talk about the past. All right, let's use one that you're proud of and teach us how the whole sequence went.
Yeah, we can go through one real quick that we've sold so far. I think Santa Ana Bay would be a great one. You can talk through the design and I'll talk through the numbers. But it's a classic example of everybody looks like a genius right now in the house flipping world, as long as you bought right, you know? And so we bought this one for $120,000.
Okay.
And we bought it off of a wholesaler. And so I think most of the folks listening to your podcast are more commercial investors for folks that aren't super.
Teach us about wholesaler.
Yeah. Basically it's somebody who goes and finds a house off market and we'll pay them a fee to buy the house from them. And so wholesaler brought us the deal. We bought it off them, $120,000. We put about $65,000 into this rehab. And so our all in number there was right around 180, 185. Now we bought this back in we went under contract in December, actually the day before Christmas, because it was the Santa house. It was the day before Christmas. We got this thing under contract. Beauty of real estate.
What year? You're in Michigan. What year?
2021. So
it just happened
4 or 5 months ago. Yeah. And, put it under contract, penciled it out and said, you know what? I'm pretty sure we're going to be able to sell this thing for $230,000, $240,000.
That's all right. So let's talk about that for a minute, since you're very good at this and we don't always do deal deep dives on flipping. So this is interesting. So as a person listening, we all have heard the TV shows talk about flipping houses and that, but not all of us do it. And a lot of listeners here actually sometimes support other people, like they'll either loan money to them or they'll, you know, groups like us might lend money to them too. But what, tell us about the 230, 240. Did that give you enough cushion? What was your thinking process there?
Yeah. So that number was going to get us a 30 to 40 grand profit after all costs were done. And so you take your 120, you add 65 to it. That gets you to 180. You sell it for 230, 240, and you take some different costs off of that. And based off of those numbers, projected out for about a 4 to 5 month hold. Our deals take us anywhere from 3 to 4 months usually to finish. That would net us 30 to 40 grand at the end of the day. And so those were numbers that we were good with.
And that's worth it to you because that's a lot of money. And the money, where did the money come from and were there banks involved? Lindsay, I hope you love this part as much as I do. Lindsay's over there going, when's my turn? When's it my turn?
That's right.
It's good.
I slowly
listen and learn.
But teach me, my wife used to say that too, but now she gives speeches, Lindsay, like you will, and she'll raise $1 million at a time because she's so awesome. I think your mom met my wife. And so you're awesome. And it's all going to come together as you guys build this business. Teach me real quick, where does the $185,000 of cost come from?
That's needed
cash.
Going back to Waco, right? We built some good relationships with local banks. And so we have a local bank who does 85% loan to cost. And so the other 15%, we partner with a private lender. So somebody who's basically wants to get their money out of the stock market and into something that's more guaranteed. And so it's debt. And so what we do is we sign a promissory note with those people. They go into second position behind our bank. And that's how that transaction gets funded. And so we get the rehab money and the down payment money from a bank and then from an investor.
So I want to say that out loud, because what you just said, and this is hard for Jimmy and Jenny and Sally and Bob and Ralph. Those are the listeners we have. We keep track of all our listeners. And and there's one dude named Tyrese. Everybody's cool who listens to this show. So they're sitting there going, just follow that, guys. You didn't put any of your own money in, Tyler and Lindsay.
No, you don't need money to invest in real estate.
Hold on.
But it's probably not a good idea unless you have some.
No. You definitely need to have some. But the way that works is you created value for two different groups, the bank and the investor. And that is like the ultimate point of capital hacking is that it's not, these strategies are what the wealthiest people use in general, but they're available to you and I if we're going to work for it. And that's where human capital development. We always say, what's the point here? You got to bring your own human capital to the table, which is what you two guys are awesome at. And mostly I bet you why they do it with you two guys is because they either knew you already or they trust your values and your work ethic. And they're like, listen, we could lose money here, but we know the people working with us are going to work their butts off.
Yeah, I don't take it for granted. And I feel like it's a very high honor to have someone, you know, hand over their money and put it in your hands. It's an honor. And I think they love what we do with the money as well. I think they love the charitable aspect. They know that their money is going towards something practical, but also towards a good cause. So we've been very blessed to have great investors.
That's awesome. Oh, I never let you tell the bottom line of the story. Okay, so you thought you were going to sell for 240. Tell us what's the punchline.
So everyone looks like a genius in a bull market. And so I underwrote that thing. We don't look at the future. We don't look at what's pending. We don't look at stuff that's listed on the market when we're underwriting deals. We look at what has sold in the past 3 to 6 months. And so that's what it was when we bought it. And so that's why we bought it off those numbers. When we went to sell this thing, we had, I mean, and Linz, you can go into the design aspect of it after, but we sold it for 280 cash.
Wow. Well, what was it about the design that made it work so well, Lindsay?
I think that's where our X factor is as a company is you see flippers all over the place. It looks like the same house, just a different street. But having somebody like Lindsay design these things and actually put those little details that people see when they walk it, that's what I think is giving us that one, the market's going up, but two, that extra kick that makes people emotionally fall in love with these houses. That's where I think Lindsay shines. But why don't you talk about that?
I think we had 40 people walk through it in the first week and we had 4 or 5 cash offers. It was gone like this. I think I'd love to, if we could throw pictures up to see for people to see what we're talking about. It was a green kitchen. It was, I feel like I'm good at saving money. I'm a really good bargain hunter, but then I also know where to splurge. So we did a quartzite counter. If any design people are listening, and we did a full quartzite backsplash. It was just beautiful. It had large pendants. We took out a wall in the kitchen. But I think that's something that I pride ourselves in is that nothing wrong with doing a cookie cutter house and just kind of turning it over and flipping it. It would be a lot easier. Tyler's like, why don't you use the same materials? Like you don't have to design a new house every single time, but I think it's fun. I love doing something new. And I do think that's kind of our X factor is it was a green kitchen. I did another green kitchen and just making the design something that people don't see all the time. So it was a success.
How did you do, you and I have talked a lot about interior, but what about the front of the building? What did you guys do there to change value?
Well, this house had, we spent almost $20,000 in the foundation and in the
structure. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. We did it right. But we focused on the outside as well. It was a nice brick. It just needed, you know, some exterior and foundation work. But we painted it and we always do landscaping and, you know, as long as everything works into the budget, we try to touch every single corner and not leave anything, you know, unturned.
I would like to have bought that house.
I would too. I was like, no, let's just keep it. I say that on a lot of our houses. I'm like, we can hold on to it till we get here.
Yeah. Here's a deal real dive for you two guys. Dun, da, 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 deal real dive. Why don't we buy them together and keep them?
Yeah.
Well, it's just an idea. Then you build a portfolio.
So we have one that we're doing that on, basically. Yeah. It's what you need is what we always like started off doing, because we're not we don't have the super long in the tooth track record yet.
Right. We wanted reps.
We wanted to be able to do deals, turn them over, show that we have a proof of concept, build up more of a track record.
Yep.
But now we've kind of transitioned and started to hold on to some of these things.
Good.
And so we've got one that Linz has been working like a dog on out in China Spring, which is a little small town right outside of Waco. But essentially, when you have a deal as good as the one on Santa Ana,
totally,
you can refinance that thing, pay back your investors, and then still retain the property.
Yep.
So that's where we're starting to transition to. It's these flips are giving us the margin in our lives to, one, have some sleep at night and not always be stressed out about budgets and whatnot. But two, if a refinance doesn't go perfect, you don't get all your money out. You're able to then back fund it with your own cash and hold on to these things. But when you're doing 15 houses, 10 houses, 5-10 grand here starts to add up.
You gotta
be pretty smart about where your money's flowing, your cash flows, and all those kinds of things. Which
you guys
is another nerdy thing that I do that is part of my role in the business. And Lindsay makes sure it all turns out right.
Yeah, Lindsay, I can only imagine. By the way, people can't see us. Someday we'll have video. I have all the video captured, and we hired an executive producer to help take this show to the more platforms and continue its growth. It's already a top 1% show, which is an honor, but we don't do the video yet, Lindsay. You're probably going to punch me in the face when we see each other. But tell us what's behind your head there. You have a lot of little drawings. Do you draw as well?
Oh. No, I wish we were in my office in California. My office is wall to wall of my blueprints that I've drawn. My house is packed up now. This is my dad's office. This was his retirement office makeover. But no, when I started my program, it was hand drafting, which
is good.
Yeah, it's good. Not many people use it. We definitely switched to, you know, CAD and Revit online drawings, but yes. I started hand drawing.
You would fit in well with Noelle. I got to introduce you to Noelle next time because she's been with us. We've done what, 6 hotels together, she and I. She's young though. She's only just 32. Mm-hmm. No one in her work together. So we did a deal real dive. We did a real dive, deep dive. Now, as we finish up here, do you mind sharing your final thoughts? Like, what is it that you want to share with the listener? And I'll prompt you a bit. Okay. I'll prompt you a bit. And then of course we want to have all the contact information that you would like to share. But early on, both of you guys brought up things like, I said, why did you get into flipping? Right. You guys are smart people. You can do a lot of things. They said, we learned from flipping our own houses and that we wanted to be generous with our upside. And that is not common. I love that. That's a beautiful, heartfelt sentiment that you wanted to be generous with what you were given. And then the last thing that I wanted you to come back to is, this is really interesting. No one ever really talks about this. You said we could always just try to build a business to grow our wealth, which you've also balanced that because you do need some reserves as a business. So you do need to, in a sense, grow your capital position. Some people call it your balance sheet, not because you're greedy, but because in order for your business to grow, it actually needs to be what it's called capitalized.
Yeah.
But you said, quote, we could have always just wanted more. So tell me about those two thoughts. One, we make money, we want to be generous with it. And two, it almost feels like you intentionally realize that our appetites are insatiable. And you kind of put that right into your business plan at the beginning.
Yeah, I mean, we bought, our goal for the first year was to buy 2 or 3 houses, and we bought 8. And so it was like,
Lord help me.
Yeah.
So cool.
It was one of those things where even after buying 8, we were still like, we need more deals, you know? And so it's such a really cool thing, I think, in business and from a faith perspective, a really tangible way to like show you that, like in our opinion, the Bible's true. It's like, you're never going to have enough. You're just not. If we more than double our goal, and we were still felt like we needed to do more. And so for us, it was just a really good constant reminder that it's so much more satisfying to give money away than it is to just see numbers grow on a bank account on the internet. Like, it doesn't really matter. We make way more memories being able to have an impact with our money than we do buying whatever it is we buy. I mean, we were talking the other day, Lens, like we haven't really even spent any of the money we've made flipping houses. Like it's all been either rolled back into the business or we've given it, you know? And it's one of those things where you brought up needing to have a balance sheet. And that's true because you need to be able to have margin in order to be generous with it. If we were super strapped for cash, we wouldn't be allowed to get that money because it's not really ours to give.
You make a good point. Let me translate to our listener for a second. I think what you said there is so you do need to build a bit of a balance sheet. And I remember working for a family office that had enormous imbalance sheet and they were super generous with their money, but donors are, fundraising. He was super generous, this person I worked with. And he was always like, you know, what's interesting is they probably don't realize I can't actually give it all away, because if I gave it all away now, then I wouldn't have revenue next year, because the way you get a building is they check to see if you have cash to pay the debt in case you mess up. And so you end up holding wealth in order to build wealth, to be generous. It's an interesting shift of mind, isn't it, Lindsay and Tyler?
Yeah, definitely.
Have you guys gone through that? Not that your guys are flooded with cash right now, but you see a path to make money. Mm-hmm. Have you thought about that transition and how you get my point?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we have a goal for our operating account that we hit this year already. And that's kind of was the trigger for us to start holding on to things. It was like, we're going to trust God that he's going to go ahead and do what he needs to do with these numbers. And then he did. And so now we're like, okay, now we're going to trust you. We're going to start holding on to some stuff to generate cash flow. But I really think it's one of those things where it's a misconception that you're not being generous if you don't just give all your money away.
Yeah.
Then it's also another misconception that you need to get to a certain level before you start giving money.
Now that's
another thing.
That's a great point, Tyler. And I'm part of an organization called GoBundance where they always talk about being generous. And I'm always challenged because I'm like, wait a second, hold on. Every dollar we have goes into our teammates and keeping our balance sheets safe. And I do that delayed, in a sense, being patient, because we're on this, sorry, this is me opining for a minute, but we're on this kind of crazy hockey stick of growth. So we're like, well, hold on. Don't you have to hold on while you're in the hockey stick? It's not like we're on a normal trajectory. It's pivoting up. And we're like, we will be able to be extremely generous as time goes on. It's just right this minute feels tough. But I love your challenge, Tyler and Lindsay. You guys have been honest and focused on others since the day you guys got in the business. So it's extremely remarkable.
Yeah. There's a time and a season for everything. I mean, it's not like you're always needing to, you can be strategic. I don't think we're handcuffed in a way to where charity's like, give your 10% right this second, or you're a horrible person. But at the same time, I think there's probably, we're always going to err on the side of giving too early than giving too late.
No, I think that's beautiful, because then there's this trust in divine providence too, you know, and, and that's humble. My wife and I are this morning talking all about the fact that if you think you've got it all under control,
just wait.
And it's best to be trusting and grateful for what we've all been given as a conscious reminder, because then it'll remind you, you know, in a way, all of you guys and your work that you're doing is enormously different than most people. That's just not the way you guys are building your life is different. And it's already ahead of the curve. Like you're doing really cool stuff, but you guys feel small still, right? Mm-hmm. You feel like we got to get bigger. Definitely. And yet you're already a role model to almost all of us listening here today. So thank you for that. And would you like one more idea?
Yes.
Okay. This is good for listeners too. Remember a moment ago, we talked about balance sheet. And what that means is the bankers are going to say, how much money do you have in case you mess up on this new project? There's a couple ways to get balance sheet. One, you can let partners assign some of their balance sheet, which is a complicated thing we can talk about some other time. But there's another way you can create balance sheet for bankers. And that is back to the point. You could hold on to a few of these at a high appraised value, pay off all the investors, and now it sits on your balance sheet as a win. And the more of those you do, the more extremely easy it is for lenders to justify giving you the $1 million loan and the $5 million loan. Yep. Anyway, long story short, there's a couple reasons why I can't wait to see you guys holding on to some of these beautiful properties eventually.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, it's a pleasure to have you here. Why don't you give us the way to follow up with anything you'd like, including Unbound Now, Lindsay?
Sure. Yeah. So if you want to learn more about Unbound Now, their website again is just www.unboundnow.org. They're also on Instagram, Unbound Waco, or you can find just Unbound Now and track all their different locations. Also follow along for the house that they're opening is called The Reagan. It's pretty cute. If I say so myself, I designed it. And that will be the safe house for six girls in the foster care system. So that's going up little by little. So it's really fun to watch that grow. And then Tyler and I, we're LTG Investments, ltginvestments.com or on Instagram. But we'd love for y'all to follow along.
Oh gosh, I'm already doing it. Tyler, thank you guys. Anything you need, let us know. We appreciate you very much. Keep it going.
Yeah, thank you so much, Josh. Really was an honor.
An honor to talk to you guys.
Wow, you made it, everybody. Thank you so much. Eric and I have always said that the people who join us at the end get the pearl and the prize.
Awesome. Folks, don't forget to like and share and love what we're doing on social media. If you want to hit up Josh, you want to hit me up, those are the best places to find us. We are always camped out and ready to talk and put the fire on.
We stand by on social media. But by the way, I know we're on Capital Hacking at Instagram, Capital Hacking on Facebook, and Capital Hacking on my personal favorite, LinkedIn.
Yes, because you can always find major players on LinkedIn. I know your favorite. These are some power players on LinkedIn always.
Gary Vee, he's my boy.
But Gary Vee also talks about the power of Instagram. So if you also want to find us there, we're doing a lot of really cool, sexy things on Instagram. So always you can reach out and DM us on Instagram if you have any questions or you want our time. We are always camped out and living there as well.
We will get right back to you. And just like we always say, you are now part of the team. This is a team that's here to add value to your life. And thank you for adding so much value to our life. Remember to share this podcast. Helps us grow it bigger and bigger each week. And we appreciate you posting a review on iTunes. You cannot believe how powerful that is.
Absolutely. Like and share this with anyone and everyone that you think it will add value to. And we appreciate all of that love and support. And do not forget, with great power comes great responsibility.
Woo!